Last night, the Northfield City Council held their first City Council meeting, regular meeting of November, and we have joining us the Mayor of Northfield and City Administrator, Rhonda Pownell and Ben Martig. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming down.
Yeah.
Is that your bike out there, Ben?
Yeah. I'm sharing my car with my 16-year-old now, and they have pre-school activities with band this morning, so I'm biking in this cold, brisk morning.
Can't your kid carry their tuba on the bike? Or
yeah, trombone player, so yeah, it'd be a little tough.
No, okay.
And I need the exercise, so yeah, okay. It's a win-win.
All right. Last night you had a council meeting, the first one of November. I want to start off. Yesterday we had in Sam Temple from Northfield Public Broadcasting, and he talked about giving a update on what they're doing, their yearly presentation. How'd it turn out?
Great. It was really fun to actually to have both Sam Temple and Kara Trigaset there with us last night giving us an update. Really, they are two of our primary people within our communications department, and they did a fantastic job. Sam has been doing a significant amount of work, really jump-starting our own Northfield Public Broadcasting. Previously, we had contracted it out. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say that. And Sam has brought such a fresh voice to it and really working hard to expand and make that more widely available to the general public, as well as making people not only viewers, but for people to be able to submit content. And that is out there. And just encourage people, if you're watching either one of those cable channels, mm-hmm. know that you can help produce that content. So it's just a really wonderful way to put more of a focus and get more information out there to the people that live right here, mm-hmm. you know, that are maybe, and especially during COVID times, if people are homebound, right? Or, you know, to be able to watch your son or daughter play a game or something. So
you can check it out online, too.
Yeah.
They have all those videos posted on the website as well.
Yeah.
Anything else on the presentations that you would like to mention?
I would just say, with regards to Kara being there, Kara really talked a little bit about our new city app, which is available for download at the App Store for iPhone and the Android. You can watch live stream and recordings of city meetings, access library resources, report a concern, pay your utility bill or building permit online. And so just encourage people to check that out. We're all walking around with our phones right now, and it's handy. If you see a concern, you can just go on that app and report it right there in the moment. So just really trying to make it easier for people to access mm-hmm. what they need from the city.
That's great. I like that idea. If I had my telephone with me right now, I would download that thing right at this moment. That's yes. Some interesting stuff. Let's move on to the meeting then, the regular agenda. The Craywood development and zoning for that was a big topic, the first couple of items on the regular agenda. Let's talk about the actions. What was requested, considered by the council, and the actions you took?
Yeah, that was a second reading of Ordinance 1028, I believe, if I got that number right. Just rezoning, making, as part of the Paulson Project or property over there, a portion, the majority of the land is zoned already N2. And so this was really just a cleanup of that. There's a small parcel over there that was zoned N1, and so this was just cleaning that up so that the zoning was all the same. And
that was the part that they bought from the school, that little strip out front, I think?
No, it's the piece of property where the house sits on that
one. Oh, okay.
And probably, my notes here are wrong, but we'd had last meeting, we had a vote on the first reading of that, as the mayor said, and we did have one counselor who's been abstaining through the project due to a conflict of interest, and another one who had voted no on it the last time. So sometimes these second readings are put on the consent agenda, but for that reason, they were put on the regular agenda last evening, mm-hmm. and along with the summary ordinance related to that.
Yeah.
So so it's a cleanup of a parcel, basically, to match the two up. So it's along the, it is along the north side there of that. It's that home site mm-hmm. along the sliver parcel along the north side of the property.
So that leaves it. The next step in the process will be to negotiate with the TIF, with the developers for the TIF. Is that correct?
Yes. So the rezoning was, that was two agenda items, but then our public hearing really dealt with the TIF.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a listening session, heard a presentation from our financial advisors and our economic development coordinator, Nate Carlson. Nick Anha is with Ehlers. And so they really gave some additional background for the council, answered questions from the council. We had that opportunity to listen from members of the community that were there for that public hearing portion, and then the related action right afterwards. The council did take that opportunity and move forward that the TIF plan.
All right. So the TIF, that the financing of the TIF, that still has to be negotiated. Is that correct with the developer? Is that what you're working on or will be working on in the near future?
Can I just say TIF plan, TIF district, development district? I was like,
I know.
Alphabet soup. What is what? And really making sense of it, which was why it was really helpful that they were there last night. And So I'll let Ben take it away because he can provide all that clarity, right?
Yeah, these are all state statutes, and it's pretty complex language. I would say it's one of the most complex issues related to regulation of property taxes and these tools to incentivize that. And it's really kind of intentional, as the state's placed a lot of restrictions around the use of this tool. And I think a lot of that then results in kind of a lot of technicalities with it on the backside. But so you're right. This is really one step. It's probably more of a technical thing that basically lays the ability by setting up this kind of designated area to be able to be used where tax increment financing could be used for. So basically, if this project were to get approved and be constructed, they pay basically their property tax bill and like 90% of that with a defined maximum they could collect over a number of years if they meet the requirements the council would lay out in a future agreement with them to include affordable housing, because that's one of the statutory minimums they require. This is really a tool being offered to require that affordable units are included in the project along with other conditions the city would have around the development standards of it. So I would say that's the meat of it that comes later is okay. Really that's the main course to talk about the development agreement and all of the details with that. But there is a lot of important issues with this too, and it was a long agenda item with a lot of good questions of the council along the way related to last night's public hearing around the district.
Now, Rich and I were talking last hour about this, and the council's got a busy time, of course, coming up the next, really about a month and a half, about 5-6 weeks or so. I know the developers would like to get things in place to break ground by this spring. Will this be picked up again in 2022? Are you going to wait till after the first of the year? When do you think the next step will come to the council level?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
I would say that we have one meeting in December. We're on track with this project, so I think I'm not concerned from that standpoint. Maybe the December meeting, I would say unlikely, but more likely January is probably when we'll hit it, because we're really on the staff side of things, working on the details of that agreement getting structured, and then we heard feedback from the council last night too that informs the staff on some of the things to be working with the developer on around some of the things we think we heard from them that that they've heard with the project from the public and that there's interest to have incorporated with it, and we hope to be able to incorporate those and explore those things that we heard from the council last night. So I feel confident this is it's on track. This is a normal part of the process, and the developer was there too, so they'd have to hear and see it firsthand.
All right. Yeah. Let's move on. Let's talk about the budget. Another big thing last night was the preliminary budget and levy for a presentation at a public hearing on December the 7th. You're getting closer to finalizing that. 11.4% tax levy increase, something along that line, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But that is not that's not written in stone yet. Do I have that correct? Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Not written in stone, but there was that opportunity for the council to give a little bit firmer, I would say, guidance to our city staff so that they know how to go about preparing that final piece of information and final direction for the council on December 7th. So the council moved forward. Option A, which included all of the staffing requests that had been before the council, which includes a new police officer, full-time Spanish interpretation, communication staff person, an engineering tech, and two community development staff people, a horticulturist. There's just a lot we still have. It's amazing. You think over my past 12 years, I know that it seems like we're adding a lot of staff. Well, there's been a lot of holes that needed to be filled over the years just because we were stagnant, I would say, for a long time. And so really trying to make sure that we're setting up our city as a whole and equipping our organization to be able to care for the needs of our community and be able to keep pace with, I would say, the expectations that our community members have for receiving services in the city. And so primarily a lot of our budgetary increase have been centered around those staffing requests. And the council affirmed again last night support for all of those staffing requests as part of the budget. Now, that 11.6% was the recommendation last night. That utilizes some American Recovery ARP dollars that the council really sought to see, is there a way that we can get this preliminary levy, which was originally 15%, down to something that's a little bit more manageable. Now, manageable can be subjective in some people's viewpoint, but I think the council's moving in the right direction. Again, just really important that we have adequate staffing to be able to take care of the needs of our community and move us forward.
So I have this correct, that all the staffing requests were approved last night?
So this is, I wouldn't say it was all the staffing that the council's been discussing in recent budget discussions. And again, last night was a direction related to what version to present to the public related to the intended one. So the council ultimately would adopt that after hearing from the public at the public hearing. But yes, generally it would include that those positions that the council's been kind of looking at more narrowly here later in the process. That was actually one of the discussions was, Do you add a few every year, a couple every year? Do you do half now, half next year? Or do you just kind of go, let's go all in and then have more stability on future changes in the future with this? And so those were some of the discussions, too, that the council had that they'll need to weigh in on as they kind of move into the final adoption. And the mayor hit on it, too. There's been a lot of sensitivity. The mayor's been vocal and other council people, too, that they are also sensitive to the property taxes. And one of the investments they said is, as the mayor talked about stagnation, it's really kind of about that commercial and industrial area in particular to help keep the rate of taxes down. We haven't seen a lot of growth in Northfield over recent history related to commercial and industrial tax base growth. And so I think that's also where we had a couple community development positions looking, really focusing on how do we move that forward? How can we attract businesses and grow our businesses that fit our values in our community and do it in a smart way? And the council knows that part of that equation means you got to have the staff time to be able to do some of that work too. So I think that comprehensively looking at that it's not just the spending side. We also need to look at how can we grow some of that base? Because if you look at the numbers, we're actually low on our city tax levy comparatively. Now this will move us up a little bit if the council were to go to that full amount. But again, on our tax base side, we're on the lower end of some of our comparables. So how do we kind of move that needle?
All right, let's move on. Last thing was the Park and Rec's capital investment plan.
We ran out of time on that
one. Oh, did you?
We did. But we did talk about the sustainable building policy. Okay. That was really kind of our last item that the council took up last night. And that has been I don't know, maybe Ben, if you would wanted to talk about that, because you on the staffing side and working with CEEE on that, many cities have sustainable building policies in place. And it's really just a great tool to ensure that we're putting when multifamily or commercial industrial, when there is a financial ask of over $300,000 to the city, that is what would be the trigger for the sustainable building policy. And there would be a potential collaboration with some other cities up in the metro that would really be working. We would be working in collaboration together to really see this program fulfilled.
An ask of over $300,000 from the city. I guess I didn't follow that part. Why would they be asking for $300,000 for the city?
So an example was last night any of our TIF.
Okay.
Right. And so last night there was a TIF request of $1.8 million for a project of $17 to $18 million, right? We've had the crossings. We've had Fifth Street Lofts, Aurora Pharmaceuticals. Those are just a few of them that, if I remember from the list that was in our council packet, that over the years that there's been a financial request back to the city for some sort of financial assistance to help them accomplish their project.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anything else that you would
about? Related to that policy, too, that'll be coming back. That was kind of an initial review of the council. There's been a lot of engagement of our boards and commissions as well as the public, including developers and builders with that, too. So that'll be coming back in the future as well to consider putting that policy into place related to when the city offers those financing incentives related to development, that those will be tied to that. So that one will be coming back in the future.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. And we will look forward to talking to you. Next week is just a work session. Is that correct? Or are you going to have a regular meeting attached to that?
What do you mean just a work session? It's important work we're doing here. No actions taken, but a lot on the agenda. So I think we have six, seven items or something, I think, next week. So.
I think you mean, Jeff, I won't be sailing in here at the last minute to slide into my chair with 20 seconds to spare before we go on the air, you mean?
Yeah,
yes,
that's
right.
Exactly.
That will just be Mr. Martek.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in today. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank
we'll talk
you.
To you in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Martek. News with a side of sports. Tim coming up in just a moment or so. Before that, Rich has a news update. Here's the latest from around the state with MNN.